Good. Hallelujah. So, you know, I would say it's probably my favorite hymn is the title of the sermon. It's Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. I don't think we have anybody here that argues that God is in Trinity. But we're actually doing a series right now. Pastor Brandon started last week on beginnings. We're going in the book of Genesis. And also after service today, we're going to be having a class on discovering your spiritual gifts. You either signed up for that, you should have gotten your book, and you should have done your homework. So you should be all prepared. We're going to have a great time today. But the sermon actually today is based on the first chapter in that book. But it's also based on Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, where the first moment, the idea or the manifestation, if you look for it, of the Trinity is expressed. And so just pray right now in Jesus' name. I thought about the famous words of Ronald Reagan when he said to Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And it's the wall is down. The Bible says that weapons of our warfare are mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. I know because you only have, you have certain things in your life. You don't understand this, but you don't have a full expression of God in the very favorite thing of your life. It's the favorite thing plus the other two weak things that you tend to ignore. That every one of us, we are image bearers, and we have the opportunity as the body of Christ to have the fullness of Christ. Jesus was the body, and he had the fullness of Christ, which we'll see in a minute. But I want you to agree right now that the Holy Spirit could come in with a sledgehammer and break some of your theology that makes you think that you're all right all by yourself, and you don't see your weaknesses. And you don't see how important it is that you allow other people to strengthen you and help you. Amen? So that you could be a three-colored or a Trinity Christian where you are experiencing the fullness of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, right now I say in Jesus' name, tear down walls in my life and in our life. That, Father, we would have a full expression, a balanced expression in each one of our lives and even as a body of Christ of all that you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So in Genesis 1:1, I guess it's Genesis 1 through 5, I'm just going to talk about these things. And I want you to see in the scriptures, once you understand that God is in Trinity, it's very interesting how God does this. He says to Israel, hear, O Lord, the Lord is one. And he actually says the Lord is one. But then also in Scripture over and over, we see that the Lord manifests himself in three different people, in the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit. But they are one. God's not schizophrenic. If the spirit that you're functioning in does not magnify the Son and the Father, I'm wondering what spirit it is. If the God that you're worshiping is not magnifying the Son and the presence and the power of God, I wonder what you're worshiping. Could it be that you made up your own God based on your own understanding? Or are you so radically being changed that the God of all the universe is invading your life and he's demonstrating and revealing himself in such a powerful way that you can't even describe it? But it brings balance and power in your life. And so in Genesis 1 through 5, it says this, in the beginning, God. Could you say God? So I'm going to talk about God, and we're going to, for the sake of this lesson and for the sake of what we're teaching, God represents, or God will represent green. So in the beginning, God, green, he created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. It's a scripture that God spoke to me when we were pioneering this church at the other building, and people were coming in, And folks were so damaged by church and by experiences that they were very, very gun shy. And I still remember the moment I was walking out to my car and I says, Lord, how are you going to ever make a church of all these people? They're so afraid of each other. They're afraid of me and they're afraid of one another. And he spoke this scripture. He says, remember what I did in Genesis. I showed up and it was void and without form and I began to move on it. And he says, begin to speak the word over this congregation. Begin to speak what I intend to do. Because I'm already here. My spirit's hovering over the people. And I'm going to create something that's going to end up. And he's going to say, and it was good. And here it is. You guys are good in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good. So in the beginning, God, and he came and he moved on the earth. And the earth was void and it was darkness was on the face of the earth. There was no light. Then the Spirit of God blew, moved on the face of the water. So now we see the Father God and we see the Spirit God moving on the face of the water. And then we hear God say, who is the word? Come on, nice and loud, guys. Jesus. So we see that in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he was in the beginning with God. So when God begins to express his power, his almightiness, and his will, he does it by words which represent the very Son of God. So right in the very beginning, we see the Father, the Spirit, and the Son all involved in creation. And I want to tell you that as a Christian, you need to not specialize just in one area of God, but you need to be a well-rounded Christian and understand the Trinity of God and how God has got different expressions in our life, some of which we gravitate because God has made us a certain way. Like I'm a very spirit-minded person. In fact, our church is a charismatic church. I love our name because Abundant Life demonstrates a lot. Okay, in that word, abundant life, there's a lot of goodness of God. But we tend to gravitate towards the gifts of the Spirit. Would you agree with that? We think we've got it. We think we're the best church on the block. Now, maybe you don't ever admit to that, but we really believe that we're the full gospel church. We've got the revelation, not like the Presbyterians, not like the Episcopalians, not like the Catholics. We got it. And as soon as you got it, what you got is pride. You can't function without the rest of the body of Christ. God is not divided. I don't like the idea that there's all these different denominations, but you can go, sometimes you can read the sign on the church and you'll find out which part of God they're comfortable with and which part they reject. And so which parts are you comfortable with? You like maybe the excitement, you like the power gifts, you like the gifts of the Spirit, but you don't really like the doctrine, the principles, and the things that are found in the Word of God. Or maybe you don't like the involvement that God wants you to get with other people, that there's a social element to this where God wants us to go into all the earth and actually mix it up with people. And when we say things like, well, God didn't make me that way, I'm a loner, I don't really like people. And therefore, we hunker down and we don't recognize that what you just said is your weakness. And you've decided to covenant with your weakness and become a hermit. Instead of saying, Lord, I've got to learn how to talk to people. I've got to learn how to care for people. I am filled with your Spirit. I'm excited about your word. But truthfully, Lord, I don't like people. I've met pastors like that. What do you do? I've been like that at certain times. Come on, guys. Don't look at me like, boy, Dan, you're kind of crazy, okay? Jesus said this. He said, revealing myself, how do we know the way, Thomas asked. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I'm also the truth. I'm also the light. And so right there, again, Jesus reveals himself as the truth, the way, the truth, and the light. Matthew, it talks about our baptism. How do we get baptized? You would think now if God came up with this plan and what the idea of knowing God is knowing God, this God, G-O-R, as my mom's generation say, God, knowing God. And so knowing God, Jesus comes, and he says, I want you just to know God. I want you to join the God church. But he doesn't. He says, go into all the earth and baptize people in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Again, God speaking, the Lord your God is one, but he has expressions. He has different expressions, and there's many facets to our God, but they all flow in that Trinitarian type facet. There's also another revelation that we'll be singing at the end when they start talking about God. They don't just say, holy. It's always, holy, 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 three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so the challenge in discovering your spiritual gifts or the way God has put you together is that you would be a multi or a three-colored Christian where you would demonstrate the green, which is the Father in your life. You would demonstrate the red, which is Calvary, which is Jesus in your life. And you'd also demonstrate the blue, which is the Holy Spirit in your life. I know people and I know churches, I've even went to conferences, and they say things like, you know, if the church would just pray, everything would change. Or they'd say, you know, if the church really knew the word more and they spoke the word more, everything would be okay. If the church was just much more social and wasn't so critical, everything would start working out. And you know what? There's a truth in all of that, but it's not all the truth. We need all of those things. We don't need part of God. We need all of God. I even look at worship sometimes. I'm very expressive in worship. My daughter is very expressive in worship. Did you hear my granddaughters up here this morning, by the way? There's two little girls in my daughter's belly. Two little girls. I was worried if Malia would have enough girls up here this morning. I forgot that she's carrying. She's packing. But I look around, and I've been watching The Blue Planet, if you've watched that on TV, and it talks about the wonders of what God has done in the earth, and some of the birds and the fish and the things. There's such a diversity of expression, but the whole earth is filled with the glory and the knowledge of God. And you can be in the middle of worship, and you can turn around, and you'll see all different types of expression, and some that maybe because it's not your thing to raise your hands or it's not your thing to dance. And guess what? Raising your hands and dancing doesn't make you spiritual. It's just something you get to do. You get to shout. I'm not a shouter. Learn to shout. If you're not a shouter, learn to lift up your voice. You know, I'm not a praying person. And so we make all of these covenants with our weaknesses. When God says, no, you need to recognize there's strength in you. You might be a practical person, a real thinker. You're so much of a thinker that you don't come to church because you don't like the way we think. And so your thinking becomes your God. Or maybe you're radical. I've seen people that the church is never radical enough for them. So they try to find a church that's as radical as them. And so every once in a while they get together with other people that are all radical. God's three expressions. There's balance in our life. There's a shout. There's a whisper. There's a bowing. There's a standing. There's patience. There's anxiousness. Not anxiousness, but aggressiveness, boldness. And so as you begin to, as I said, my gifting is centered on Pentecost. I'm very aware that I've been born again. I'm very aware of spiritual gifts that have been given to me by the Holy Spirit. And I'm becoming more and more aware of the weaknesses that I have. And I need not to just say, I'm fine. Some of us can fall into the category to think we're just waiting for the church to get as spiritual as we are. That's arrogance and pride. You're part of the church. We need each other. Maybe they'll come to a place of worship. Maybe they'll understand like I do. All of those things, I believe, are expressions of weakness in us. Instead of seeing, you know, I'm not comfortable with this, but it's in the Bible. It is in the Bible to shout. Have I ever shouted? It is in the Bible to raise my hands. Have I ever lifted up holy hands? It is in the Bible that I would learn to pray. How come I don't pray? It is in the Bible that I would study to show myself approved of God. How am I constantly walking past all of these things? Because we have enough of God in us that we know we have God, but we've made a God of that one aspect and not realize God wants us to have every aspect. It's called growing up in Christ. Amen. Pastor shared last week about that we are image bearers, and we are bearing the image of God. And so here in the Word it says Jesus, it says who is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. Then it talks about, in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then it says in Corinthians about us, the body, it says, if I say as a foot, I am not a hand, am I not part of the body? And it starts talking about, you can't say that if you're a hand, you know, I'm not part of this body. I'm not part of this body because I really see things. I believe things that you don't believe. Well, the truth is, you are part of the body. And so Jesus is the only one that is able to actually bolster. The scriptures says about Jesus that in him the fullness of God dwelt bodily. He had the full Father. He had the full Spirit. He had the full Son. But it says of us that the Spirit of God dwells in us, and we are members individual. But as we understand our importance of how we connect together, the Spirit of God begins to demonstrate and magnify himself in the body, bodily. I wrote this down, it's just a thought that came to me. It seems quite obvious that God has designed life in the church and in the spiritual world where we each need each other. Only Jesus has the statement over his life that he had the fullness of God dwelling in him bodily. We are called the body of Christ jointly, individual members and individual types and gifts. Together, we make up the body of Christ, which is the fullness of God where it dwells. Our dependence on each other is worth recognizing. It's worth recognizing. Reaching to every person, especially those people that maybe you wouldn't normally gravitate. That's what the world does. That's not what the church does. We need to investigate and learn. Haven't you found, I found that the human being, members individual, is quite an amazing discovery. You guys are amazing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're amazing. Because the truth is, it's diversity. I mean, there's black hair, there's brown hair, there's even red hair in the congregation, and even no hair. There's room for everybody, amen? But there's all these different personalities, and in Christ, there's a demonstration, there's a spark. So when you take light, and if you pass light through white light, just pure white light, and you pass it through a prism, what happens, you can see this, my wife pointed it out, that in a mirror, light will be reflected in the mirror, but a lot of times on the corner of the mirror, you'll start to see colors. And it's the same thing with a prism. The thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to get balanced and let God develop all three aspects of himself in our life. Because what happens then is you're not extremely blue, you're not extremely green, and you're not extremely red. But as you move closer and close towards the Godhead, towards Christ, towards the center, towards the Spirit, it becomes white light. I think the world's pretty confused, because we present God in so many weird ways. But there is a way where we honor him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. We honor Jesus. We honor the Spirit. We honor the Father. We honor the full baptism. We honor all the scriptures that we become. Can you imagine it? I read this scripture. It just challenged my heart. It said that Jesus's body, that out of Jesus's body was coming up such power that people were pushing. They wanted to touch the body of Jesus. I'll tell you, that challenges me about us. Come on, you with me? That we would so love one another, we would so love the Lord, we'd so desire to be balanced, that we would address weak areas in our life. We would not criticize somebody that's strong in the spirit because we are strong more dogmatically in the doctrine. Or we wouldn't criticize somebody that really is concerned about creation and really is concerned about social issues because we don't think that's important. We would embrace that and we would learn from them because those are areas that we're not necessarily that stirred up about, but they're all put in here for a reason. You have an emphasis that is probably my weakness, and I can learn from you, and I have an emphasis that maybe is your weakness, and you can learn from me. So I guess we have to say the Bible is right, that I cannot say, my hand cannot say to my foot, I don't need you. Can you imagine if you tied me all up and I just couldn't move, even put duct tape over my mouth? I mean, I become dysfunctional. But the more I move, the more I learn my motor skills as one body, the more we move in the spirit and we learn our motor skills as one body, the expression increases and increases. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Gifts and Trinity. So we see this. I'm going to just hit a couple places in Scripture, but there's many. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, we see this in the gifts of the Spirit. Notice the first one is blue gifts, or what I'm going to call the Spirit. We actually got nice colors up there. Thank you, Brandon. And it says this about the three families, if you will, of the gifts. And I want you to notice something, because us Pentecostals, and Dan Tebalt thinks like this, and I'm trying to change, we think that we're in the first category. I prophesy, I speak in tongues, I've seen visions, have dreams. I'm out there, okay? So that's all that the Spirit of God is. But no, there's gifts of administrations. There are gifts of the Spirit. There's gifts of help. There's all these other practical things. I could actually point out to people in our congregation right now that are very much involved in doing, that are gifted in faithfulness, that are gifted in certain areas, that if we didn't have them, we wouldn't be able to shout and holler and do all that. They are so vital to the body of Christ. But sometimes when we think we know it all, because we move in the gifts, we look down at them and say, you should come up here where I am because I got it all. But you don't got it all. We need it all. And some of it is manifested in what I would say practical expressions of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, no matter what gift you have, I would challenge you, if you don't love the body of Christ, that could be a weak area for you, that you don't value being part of the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts are given for the body of Christ. So it's a gift that's given and what we would call a power gift. How many would say, I need more power? I got good news for you. That's the first step to getting it. Okay? Start shooting at it. Start asking about those things. Lord, I don't have the anointing to see and walk and be what I'm supposed to be. So I'm asking that you would give me power in my life. So there's a whole group of gifts that we call the spiritual gifts. But it doesn't stop there. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. So the second group, the first group is under what we would call the heading of the Holy Spirit. But the second group is under what we call lordship. Because when we start talking about service, we're talking about lordship. And so you've got a whole group of people that are under that anointing, under that power. There's different kinds, but it's the same Lord, the same Spirit that complements the same Lord, and the same Lord that complements the same Spirit. So now we've got power in the house, and we've got commitment in the house. How is that? I mean, how are the expressions of God in your life? Do you have power? I don't have enough, Dan. Well, go for it. In fact, I have none. My battery's on red. Go for it. Go for it. It's all yours. I don't really have commitment, Lord. I don't seem to follow through. Well, another part where God wants you to strengthen yourself is commitment. What have you started and stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped all your life? Is that the way you're going to live Christianity? God says, no. Learn something about commitment, about pressing all the way through. You ask these women that gave birth, they don't want to stop with just morning cramps and labor pains. They want that thing out. Amen? A lot of baby jokes lately. Okay, so now we've got gifts, we got power, we got lordship, we've got commitment. The next thing is there's different kinds of workings. See, one of the things I think about you, Lydia, you've got a strong anointing about the Father because you've got so many ideas that you scare me sometimes. So Brandon's the same way. He's constantly got all of these ideas. He's got a real strong presence of the Creator God. You know, one of the things the devil is absolutely terrified is our creativeness. God will bring creativeness to the body of Christ, and we'll do things that the world is never, I'm not talking about weird things, but simple practical things that the Holy Spirit inspires, and it will tear down walls. Well, I'm not very creative. Then go for it. It's part of the Godhead. There is creativeness in you. So now we have what we call creativeness, we'll call wisdom. How to walk this out. Some of us don't know when to speak, and some of us don't know when to shut up. Wisdom will teach you the difference. And you know the cool thing we're going to find at the very end, the apostles, these men and women, the women that were in the Bible, the men were powerful people, but they all had weaknesses. We do that. Sometimes, saints, we will see somebody that's like a doubting Thomas. Did you know doubting Thomas was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have doubting Thomases in the church. Thomas was very analytical. You find he wasn't there when Jesus first showed up. There's people that are so critical of the body of Christ, yet they're saved. But they can't sit in the body because they think too much. Why are you doing that? That's not right. And they get into these analytical things, and they end up saying things like Thomas. He says, unless I see the nail holes, and unless I put my hand in those holes. And so when Jesus shows up at the very end, you know, Jesus doesn't criticize him. He points out to him, you know, Thomas, I'm going to say it my own way. You think too much. Blessed are those that have not seen me, but yet can go beyond their brain. They can go beyond the analyzing everything that people do and justifying how they stand outside of the body of Christ. And they can say, God, you're bigger than my brain. You're bigger than my understanding. And so Jesus was saying to Thomas, can you get over that? You believe because you saw it. But I challenge you, there's a greater believing when you don't see it, but yet you believe. And so he was pointing out a weakness that we have. We have people like that in the body of Christ that a lot of times they miss meetings because it's not important. Sometimes they have more problems going to church than not going to church. And what I would say is that you have to get through that. There's times, saints, honestly, as a pastor, as a brother, I just want to quit. I mean, this is disgusting. This is, why do I put up with this? And Jesus always says, will you reach beyond that? There's something bigger. It's not about you and your feelings and your pet peeves. It's bigger. It's about a world. It's about people being saved. So you can short-circuit yourself. So I guess the thing is, what we're going to be studying today in a class is, what is the most important aspect that you might need? Or in a lot of cases, saints, it might be more than one aspect. And so you got to find out your starting point. My starting point, and as I went through this, and I'm very much like Peter and Mary are the two people they use to identify me. I'm very passionate. I love to worship, but I'm a little bit like Peter. Now, don't you guys say, I know you are, Pastor. Peter had a lack of wisdom. He didn't know when to keep his mouth shut. He said things that he shouldn't have said. He reacted and cut the high priest's ear off, but he learned. I'm learning. Can you say, Pastor, you're learning? Okay, so I do things, but guess what? Peter was an apostle, and guess what? Your pastor's still a pastor. I have flaws, and you have flaws. Don't disqualify me because you see an area that I'm weak, and I'll try not to disqualify you because I see an area that you're weak, but we will complement one another. So where is the place that we start? We start by finding what we need. So the first part, we talked about power, commitment, and wisdom. And so, very likely, if you have a strong personality, you probably can instantly tell me which one of those are your strong suit. If you're much more laid back, I think it becomes a little bit more difficult. So you have to kind of go through the scriptures and go through the test, and then all of a sudden you start seeing characters that a character in the Bible that kind of represents the character that you are, and you begin to get a better understanding of what God has called you to be. So there's a great demonstration of this. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. You can read through there or get the notes, but Paul says this. He said, "For this reason, since the day that I heard about you, I have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." And so when we begin to unpack that scripture, we again see the three expressions of what the apostle is trying to say to us. You know, sometimes I think we believe that we're smarter than the people that wrote the Bible. They knew things so well, they just had to mention them. We have to explain them and have a whole conference to unpack our great wisdom. But they knew these things. And we see, I also see the genius of what I call the genius of God's Spirit within the scriptures. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't realize, I'm sure he did, because he was God. But he was stating what he saw. He said, "I tell you those things that I know, that I saw the Father explain to me. I'm sharing with you the heavenly realities. It's just like air to me. I'm not just the Son of God, but I am the way. And I'm not just the way, but I'm the truth. And I'm not just the way and the truth, I'm the life." Aspects of God. And we see this unpacked in here. The first thing he does is something that we are all called to. Prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, and shake him a little bit. Your prayer, you are called to go deep. Come on. But half of you didn't do that. Come on. Reach over to somebody and say, "You're called to go deep." Okay? You're called to go deep. You're called to discover God. Okay? So he says, "For this reason, I'm asking God." And here's what I'm asking God for. Here's the apostle praying for the church. He's praying for you and I. The first thing he says is that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Green, God the Father, creativeness. He's praying, "I want you to be filled with wisdom." Church, would you receive that right now? I'm praying that God would fill you guys with real godly kingdom, God the Father wisdom, to know how to move in every situation. Then he goes on, "that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Commitment. He's talking about wisdom. I'm praying that God would add to you wisdom. And I'm praying that God would teach you the value of commitment. I was thinking, I'm setting up an office at home. And when you move, after how many years? I'm not sure, honey, we were there a long time. You have a lot of stuff. So in my office, I've got all these boxes and stuff. But I've got a vision. I have a vision of me praying in there, of me singing and worshiping in there, of me studying it, but I've got to move the boxes. I don't want to move the boxes, but I got to learn to move the boxes. So I start clearing them away, and as I start in my commitment, following through towards the goal that I would understand, my office is getting cleaned up. I have a desk that I can find. It's got a Bible on it. I got a place I can plug in my computer. I have a rug that I can kneel down. I've got a stand now for my guitar. All because I was committed enough to clean up the mess. Study to show yourself approved unto God. The Word of God will tear down things and build things up in your life. Are you willing to go through a renovation? Commitment. He prays that your life might be worthy. He prays that you'd have wisdom. He prays that you'd have commitment. And then he goes on and he talks about the Spirit. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. There's something so wonderful, saints, about God helping you in your weakness. So he's talking about wisdom. Part of God. Very important. But if you are such a thinker, it causes you to push away the things of the Spirit. Or such a thinker that you won't go to the Word of God and let him tear some things down, you're going to get snagged. Wisdom, commitment, and Spirit. So where is your starting point? I talked a little bit about Thomas. And this really encourages me. Because Thomas, we actually call Thomas Doubting Thomas, don't we? But did you know that he's one of the foundation stones that the kingdom of God is, I'm going to build upon the foundation of the apostles? Doubting Thomas, even though he had some weakness in him, God did not push him away. Peter, who we tend to glorify, but Peter was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. But there was probably hardly any apostle other than maybe Paul that had such a supernatural power. We find him going to the temple, committed to prayer. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have, I give unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he raised up that man that had been lame all of his life. The power and the commitment was in Peter's life, but yet he lacked wisdom. He had to learn wisdom. So my challenge to you today is, number one, if you're a part of this church, I think it would be good at some point that you take this class. But number two, that you would identify where you're starting. And be honest if you're weak in commitment, or you're weak in the spirit, or you're weak in wisdom. And say, Lord, I want all aspects of you. I'm not just going to have what I like, but I want those areas that I'm weak in my life to grow. And find maybe some people that are strong in those areas to encourage you. Amen? So we're going to stand. We're going to sing this wonderful old hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Isaiah, I'm going to plug this guitar in, so please don't let it snap. Amen. Father. Amen.
Come reveal yourself to us, Jesus. Reveal yourself to us, Lord.